It is time to chat state politics, though, and Anthony Brewster is in with us now to unravel what the hell has been going on. Morning, Anthony.
Good morning.
The pressure's on. The pressure's on. So estimates, let's start there. Tell me what's been happening.
Estimates have been going on for the last couple of weeks. Various ministers have been coming backwards and forwards, as they do. Yesterday we had the Better Regulation Minister come in, Kevin Anderson, and it was revealed during that that the task force that he's actually the chair of, he hasn't actually been to any meeting, even though there's been 50 of them. Now, this task force has been set up for building cladding. If you remember the controversy over all the cladding around Sydney and around the country, in fact, the Grenfell fire in London, there was also a fire in Melbourne as well. It's been revealed that a lot of the cladding actually on buildings is actually flammable. Late last year, the New South Wales government set up a task force, and that was in October last year. They've met somewhere in the region of about 50 times, and the revelation came out of estimates that the minister actually hasn't turned up to any of those meetings despite the task force doing all this work. So it was really interesting to hear that, because some of the opposition have been talking about the minister being asleep at the wheel and that sort of thing. So some pretty fascinating revelations coming out of that.
I would love to have a job where if I didn't show up to 50 meetings, I wouldn't get fired. That's the dream.
That's right. But the task force has been doing a lot of work. It started out with something like 4,000 buildings across New South Wales. It's basically gone down to about 150 or so of those buildings now. And the task force was set up basically to set up a register, and a public register of all buildings that is actually a requirement by law now. If you have flammable cladding or questionable cladding around this, you actually need to go on that register. But a lot of consultation with the community and stuff. But again, you know, really interesting revelation that the minister hasn't been to any of those meetings yet.
That's just so concerning. The big one this week as well, we can't not talk about it, lockout laws. On Sunday morning, Gladys Berejiklian came out and said that she wanted to wind them back. And we all kind of celebrated as if on Sunday the lockout laws were officially gone, but they weren't.
That's right. So there's been an inquiry into the lockout laws and into the nighttime economy in Sydney. Been going on for some time now. That report's not due until September 30. So we'll actually find the final recommendations and then actually see some action possibly. But that won't be for another couple of weeks yet at the very least. Now, over the weekend, there was a Liberal Party state conference as well. And during that meeting, they talked a lot about abortion law. And there was actually a motion put forward that was actually voted down about abortion law and so forth. Then out of nowhere, the Premier comes out and starts talking about lockout laws.
Yeah, there it is.
And the first reaction from most people was, is this the Premier trying to take the heat out of the debate of the abortion bill? Because that's going to go back to the upper house next week. And we don't really have an answer to that question. But it was really curious that she did come out at this time to actually start talking about repealing and dragging back the lockout laws that were put in. I actually checked it the other day. I can't believe it's been 5 years since we've had the lockout laws introduced. So, trying to understand why the Premier did this. Sometimes politicians do this. Sometimes they literally come out of nowhere and just mention something to the press and get it into the media. And they do what's known as test the water to see what the reaction's going to be. But a lot of the Premier's critics are saying that the reason why she did this was to actually take the heat out of the debate of the abortion bill. And look, I guess that argument does have some significance, because what she actually said, there's not really... we've got to wait for the recommendations for the inquiry to come out. And what she actually said wasn't really that significant anyway, just that they're keen to look at this. We've known that for some time, and that's hence why they started the inquiry in the first place. So, yeah.
And speaking of the Liberal Party meeting as well and the abortion bill, I imagine that is still causing arguments for them.
It is. The people for abortion, people for within the Liberal Party for the healthcare reform bill, they came out of the weekend saying that, the vote within the Liberal Party, and this is Liberal Party members, not just politicians, the vote within that party room, they suggested that this is actually a majority. And now, you know, this is clearly a clear majority that people actually support the reform bill. The vote, I think, was 217 to 236, something
Ouch.
Like that. So to suggest that there's a majority is technically correct, but you've still got half the party that are actually against the healthcare reform bill as well. So next week, that, like I said, next week that bill will re-enter the upper house, and debate will begin again. Again, we'll start talking about all the amendments and everything else going on with it, and it will hit the headlines again and you know, be as controversial as it was in the first place.
Technically correct. The best way to be correct, though, realistically, if you're a politician. And ICAC continues. Give us a wrap-up of what's been happening.
There's not really that much been happening. The biggest sort of headline that came out of ICAC in the last 7 days was the ALP lawyer, a gentleman by the name of Ian Robertson, who came into ICAC and into the witness stand and contradicted what the General Secretary, the now suspended General Secretary, Kayla Mamain, was saying. She originally said that, in reference to the $100,000 donation, she originally said that she actually went to the lawyer and said, you know, what do we do about this? She said in the witness box to ICAC that he said, don't worry about it, let it go. And then he came into the witness box last week and said, we never actually had a meeting and I can't recall actually saying that. So what ICAC's doing, it's still trying to get to the bottom of these donations, and there are still plenty of questions to try and work out where the donations came from and who actually authorised them and that sort of thing. So still a few weeks to go.
We are never going to hear the end of this Aldi bag, are we?
We're not.
Thanks so much, Anthony.
Okay.
Anthony Brewster with the wrap-up of state politics for another week.